Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad to be in your home. I'm Pastor Jeremiah, and welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Campus. We're so honored that you are here with us today. One of my friends recently got involved in a scam. Has that happened to you? This scammer wanted my friend to invest all his money in this for sure business venture. And one of the reasons my friend kind of got interested and started to trust this scammer was the name the scammer used. Can you guess what was the name he used? It's Keanu Reeves. My friend was like, oh, Keanu's, he's messaging me, awesome. And because he trusts his name, he started getting to know this guy. And my friend started getting suspicious when the scammer started asking for money. My friend was like, you're Keanu Reeves, man. You don't need money. Why would you ask for my money? And thankfully, he was able to get out of that situation. How's that happened to you? I have a real strong emotion against scammers. But the reality is, many of us also use false names. Many of us who are Christians, and Christian actually means little Christ or little Jesus. We use the name of Jesus as a way to identify ourselves. We wear it as a way to say who we are. And yet our lives don't always match up with that name. This happened in my own life. I was a hypocrite. When I was in junior high, I moved to a small town. And I loved Jesus. I went to church every Sunday. When we went to the small town, I really, really, really wanted to be accepted by the cool kids. There was only about 30 people in our town, and about 10 of those people were kids, and I really wanted to be accepted by them. So unfortunately, I ended up, when I went to church on Sunday, I also, the rest of the week, went out partying and drinking and getting in a whole bunch of trouble. I was, like I said, a hypocrite. I said I was a Christian, but really I was living this double life. My life didn't line up with the name of Jesus, and it was actually really, really hard. I feel I had to put on a Christian mask every time I went to church. Oh, praise Jesus. And then I had to put on a party mask, a John Wick mask. Oh yeah, let's go party, whenever I went to hang out with my friends. And it was so exhausting. I became enslaved to these masks. I didn't know who I was without them on. I was not free. We're doing a series right now, if you have been with us, called Set Free to Live Free, 10 Steps for True Freedom. And we're looking at what true freedom means. And we've been looking at the 10 Commandments, God's kind of life story for us, how to live in true freedom. And today we're going to look at freedom for sincerity, how to be yourself, how to live without masks. Now, if you have your notes, if you don't have them yet, you can click them on the website under resources tab and grab them. You can write this down in your notes. The first point I want to make is these definitions. First is hypocrisy. And this actually word comes from the image of an actor wearing a mask. And this is what hypocrisy is. Saying one thing but doing another and trying to hide it when you are caught. And let me tell you, when I was a hypocrite, I was so exhausted, always trying to hide these double lies. And the opposite of hypocrisy is sincerity. Saying one thing and doing that one thing. And when you mess up, you humbly confess it and ask for forgiveness. And today we're going to look at how we experience that freedom of sincerity, just being. And we're going to do that through the third commandment, this third step of freedom. So if you have your Bibles, if you turn with me, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 7. Hear the word of the Lord. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come before you today and we We just want to be sincere. We just want to be real. But it's so easy to put on masks, to hide who we truly are. Help us, Lord, to be sincere. Help us experience your freedom, Lord, the freedom that comes in your name. Lord, may you use my small words for your great glory today. We pray this in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. This is what I believe God wants us to know today. If you have your Bibles or your sermon notes, sorry, you can write it down. Jesus sets us free to be. To be. No more masks. No more trying to be somebody else. Jesus sets us free to be sincere. To be who God created you to be. Now let me just explain how sincerity, how this being relates to this third command, this third step of freedom. Scripture says that all of us, everybody lives under a name. In the Old Testament, that's where Exodus is found, in the earlier part of the Bible. God chose his nation, Israel, to be his people. And a book named 2 Chronicles calls Israel a people called by my name. And in that culture, a name was like a flag, which a people carry, which identified who they belong to. Maybe an example for today is kind of like a lanyard. Yeah, anybody still wear lanyards these days? But this is the lanyard for my company where I work. And when I wear this lanyard, when I carry this lanyard, it tells people who I belong to, what company I am part of. And actually, by the way I live, I represent this company. People know who this company is by the way I live, by the way I act and treat others. And my life is tied to the reputation of this company. And in a similar way, God gave Israel a name, a lanyard. And through Israel's actions, through their way of life, they would show the whole world who God was. Who is this God and by which the Israelites lived by, the name they clung to. And again, in the New Testament, names are very important. God's name was very powerful and precious, and it was a description of God's characteristics, that God is loving, kind, compassionate, a God of justice and mercy. And if you write this in your notes, or you have your notes, write these down. Those who live under the name are called to be like God. These Ten Commandments are invitations to live like people under the name of God, to live like God, to be people who love God and who love their neighbor. This is who God made us to be. And living under this name sets us free. As we've been saying in this series, true freedom is not the absence of constraints, but the presence of liberating constraints. And these commands give us the framework and these healthy, liberating constraints, and they tell us who we are. They help us to be sincere. Jesus sets us free to be sincere, to be who God created us to be. However, when our lives don't line up with the name, the lanyard that we carry, we don't experience true freedom. We also fail at being a good representative of God to others. And this is what it means when Exodus says, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Now this word misuse in English is a good translation of two Hebrew words. Traditionally, a lot of Bibles have translated these two Hebrew words as, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. Take in vain. And if you look at these two Hebrew words, taking in vain as long as, and misuse, when I was a kid, I used to think that, you know, this meant not cursing using God's name. And that's a very important part of it, but also much, much deeper than that. If you look at the first Hebrew word, take, it means to lift up or to carry. And it's usually used in the Old Testament in three contexts. Now here's a little tip for studying the Bible. If you want to know a meaning of a word, it's good to look at the whole Bible to see where else it was used. And this Hebrew word, to take or to carry is used in three contexts. One is a worship setting, like a synagogue or a temple or in our modern day, a church. The second is in swearing oaths. You know, like, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And the third one is in one's lifestyle. Now we'll come back to that. The word vain means light. Not in terms of light and darker color, but more in terms of weight. It can be translated as breath or air. And it's also translated empty, meaningless, unimportant. And in that culture, in the Jewish culture, things that are described as honorable, worthy of respect, and important are kind of described as heavy. And then those things that are described as unimportant, meaningless, and not really worthy to be respected are described as light. And vain can also mean evil. So let's put these two words together, take in vain, and you can write this down in your notes. Taking the name in vain or misusing God's name means lifting up or carrying God's name in worship, in your dealing with others, and in your daily life in a disrespectful and evil way. Now, if we think about a worship setting, taking God's name in, let's say, a church, that doesn't mean just cursing God or cursing in church, but rather it means wearing a mask in church. Now, I don't mean wearing a physical mask. We have to wear a mask in church right now, okay? But what I mean is, like I mentioned earlier, faking it, putting on this front, wearing this fake mask to make yourself look good, not being sincere. Now, Jesus, he picks up on this theme of scripture where God says, should not worship me in vain, in a meaningless, disrespectful way. And he picks us up in Matthew 15, starting in verse 7 to 9. He says here, and is in the context, in chapter 15, there's this guy named the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of the day. If you looked at and asked, who is the most religious people you know, the most holy people, you'd say, oh, the Pharisees, they look so amazing. They're so, wow. And just before verse 7 we're going to look at, the Pharisees looked at Jesus and the disciples and said, why aren't you guys washing your hands when you eat? And in that time, they were really serious washing hands, not just keep clean like today, but rather as a sign of religious purity, how good you are. They would wash their hands before they ate, after they ate, and in between their meals all the time. And they looked at Jesus and the disciples like, why aren't you being religious? And Jesus, he was kind of not too happy about it. He says here in verse 7, you hypocrites, Isaiah, who was right in the Old Testament, was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain, in an evil way, in a meaningless way. Their teachings are merely human rules. In another place, Matthew 23, actually, Jesus describes these religious leaders as whitewashed tombs. They look all beautiful, religious, holy on the outside, but inside they're full of dead, ugly bones. And this is what Jesus is getting at when we misuse God's name. Worshipping in a disrespectful way that does not recognize the worth, the importance of God. And as a result, not giving their full hearts to God, but rather hiding behind a mask, only giving up the surface level of their devotion, not 100% of who they are. In the same way, when I carried God's name, but also went out and partied the rest of the week, I was misusing God's name. I was a hypocrite. And let me tell you, I was enslaved to that. There was no freedom. And when we do this, there are grave consequences. If you look back at the command, Exodus 20, verse 7, he says, you should not misuse the name of the Lord God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. God will not hold anyone guiltless without punishment. God will hold all of us accountable for when we misuse God's name. You might be thinking, isn't a little bit harsh? You know, come on. Well, if you think about it, it's not really. You can write that down on your notes. When we misuse God's name, we don't just hurt ourselves, we hurt God's reputation. When I was a hypocrite, it hurt me, but also hurt my witness, my representation of God to my friends. People would look at me and be like, he's a Christian, and yet he parties all the time. What's that about? I guess his religion doesn't really matter. His religion doesn't keep him strong enough and accepted enough to actually go and go crazy the rest of the week. Why would I follow a God like that? And unfortunately, when you look at history, the hypocrisy of the church has severely damaged the church's reputation. There's a rabbi named Joseph Telushkin, and he argues that slaveholders in America and in Canada who justified this system of enslaving our African brothers and sisters in the name of God, they violated this third commandment. They've taken the name of God in an evil way, and they hated their neighbors instead of loving and serving them. Another Canadian example is the residential schools, in which children were taken from their families, abused, and even murdered, all in the name of God. As a result of all this hypocrisy, the reputation of God is severely damaged. I know many people I talk to, they can't believe in a God whose servants do so much evil. One of my friends, he's indigenous, he had a really beautiful experience with God when he was younger. He had a strong, strong faith. But as he researches this history of the church, this history that the church has tried to hide, he's been telling me lately it's so hard for him to believe in a God whose servants have done so much evil in his name. And all I can do is say, yeah, you're right. The history is bad. And I pray that through my friendship with him, through my love for him, that Jesus, the real Jesus, will show himself to my friend. And it's been so, so hard to witness in the light of all this hypocrisy. Now, no wonder God has a huge warning in this command then. The Bible said God wants all people to know him, to be saved, to be caught up in his love and salvation. However, when the church is a hypocrite, people then doubt God. Instead of knowing God as loving, compassionate, kind, and merciful, people see Christians and think that God is hateful, manipulative, and murderous, and God will not hold anyone guiltless who does this. In Matthew 18, Jesus picks up on this kind of similar imagery. He says in chapter 18, verse 6, and he's talking about children. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a huge millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Christians, those who call themselves Christians, but instead hurt the vulnerable, pollute the reputation of God and cause people to turn away from God, well, it's better for them to be thrown into the sea than to face God's judgment. And the reason that the church has become this hypocrite for so long is because of a term we've already looked at this series, idolatry. You can write this in your notes. The third command is directly connected to the first two commands, which focus on idolatry, which is serving and loving other gods above or alongside the one true God. And wearing a mask while carrying the name of God hides the other gods we are enslaved to. Let me just explain this. So let's say I say this represents God's name. I say that I follow God. However, I'm also wearing a mask. This mask hides the fact that perhaps I'm following other gods. Maybe I'm following or I've made money into a god. And as a result, I act greedy. I steal from others, take from others. Maybe my other God I've made to a God is my own family, my spouse, my children. And all my identity is focused on my family to the point where I don't really care about other families. I do what I can to get my family ahead, even if it means pushing other families down. Maybe I've made my nation or my people group into a God. And as a result, I look down at other people groups or even hurt them or try to push them out. When we do this, all while we say we're in the name of God, instead of, when people see us, instead of seeing the God of love, forgiveness, and justice, others see our actions, our racism, our hate, our selfishness, and as think that that's God. That's the God that they are serving. A God who's spiteful, manipulative, murderous. For me personally, my God was being accepted. I wanted to be accepted both by the church family, by God, and by my friends. And as a result, the message I gave to my friends was that God is not important. God is not worthy to be worshipped. You need something else to fulfill your life. This is a lot of bad news, isn't it? Well, let me tell you the good news. The good news is that though God will punish those who break His third commandment, He also wants to forgive us. If you look at this word guiltless in Exodus 20 that we've read, other places in the Old Testament this word is used is in the context of God's gracious forgiveness. If you look at the whole biblical story, God wants to forgive. It's in His heart to forgive us. Let me give you one example. 2 Chronicles, I've already mentioned once, 7:14 says this: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." You can write this on your notes. God not only wants to forgive us, that's His heart. In Jesus, God provides a way of forgiveness and the removal of our guilt. Jesus cleanses us from all our sin and transforms us to be sincere. Jesus, whose name is the Lord, whose name means the Lord saves, came down to earth to do what Israel couldn't. Jesus is and was the perfect representative of God's name. He showed us what it meant to live under this name, to love God with his whole heart, and to love his neighbors as himself. And instead, more so, is Jesus wasn't just a representative of God, he was one with God. Jesus is God, is one with God. He is the name above all names. And instead of God coming down to condemn us, punish us, Jesus took our sins, took that punishment on himself on the cross. Jesus died in our place and paid for our tragic and horrible sins, paid for our hypocrisy. And we are now guiltless because of the life of Christ. And even more so, Jesus rose from the dead to set us free. You can write this in your notes. Jesus came to take away all the masks and idols we hold on to. And through the Holy Spirit, Christ himself, the name of God and the perfect representative, lives in us and is transforming us to be like him. What good news. Jesus came to take away our masks, take away our idols which enslave us so that we can be free. So we can live under the name of God with sincerity. When I was a hypocrite, when I was living the double life, Jesus came to me. Not because I called out to him, because of his gracious love and grace. He came to me in my sin and in my guilt. He came to me actually when I was drunk and said, "Jeremiah, you can keep going this road of slavery and you'll end up dead. Or you can follow my way of freedom." By God's grace, I was able to say yes to Jesus. I threw off the idols. I took off the mask. Even though I was afraid of what other people would think. Even though I was afraid of, you know, will I really be accepted? And I found acceptance in Jesus. In His name. And I was baptized in His name that same year. I was set free. Set free just to be who God created me to be. Jesus sets us free to be. Let me just end with just a couple applications. Names have power. The scammer I mentioned earlier used Kiana's Reeves name to try to trick my friend. My friend followed along for a while because of the power of that name. The scripture says that Jesus has the name above all names, and that name has the power to set you free. Set you free to God, who God made you to be. Let me read something from Philippians. Philippians 2, if you have a chance, read the whole chapter. It's about the story of Jesus, how He came from heaven, humbled Himself to death of the cross to take away our guilt and shame. And therefore, in verse 9 it reads, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus, the name of all names, is now calling us to trust Him. Calling us to embrace the freedom He has given to us. Now, for those of you who maybe are not followers of Jesus, first I'm thankful that you are here. And let me just confess, yes, the church and I have been a hypocrite. There's no use in denying it, minimizing it, trying to mask it away or hide it. Unfortunately, it's true. And we have taken God's name in vain and don't did so much evil. But let me just tell you, this is not who God is. God is loving, gracious, compassionate, full of justice and mercy. And the way we know this is because Jesus, the name of God, died for us. Took the punishment we deserved so that we can be free. And today, in His name, you can find freedom. Romans 10, verse 13 says this simple thing, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is calling you to embrace His freedom. I encourage you to consider it today. And if you sense the Spirit urging, nudging you, please click on the Next Steps button on this website. Now, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, who wear the name of Jesus and hold Him into our heart, let me ask you this hard question, which I have to ask myself every day. What masks are you wearing? Where are you misusing the Lord's name? Hurting His reputation in the world. The solution is not to add more masks, try to hide it, try to make yourself look better. Jesus already knows. He's already paid for it. He's already cleansed us of all our sin and guilt on the cross. And the only way forward now is to confess our idolatry. Be sincere about it and accept the gift of His salvation, the gift of His freedom. Jesus is inviting all of us to rely on Him, not on our masks, not on our gods, for freedom. To just confess where we have misused God's name, embrace the sincerity, and trust in Jesus. Jesus who loves you, who died for you. Jesus sets us free to be sincere, to live without masks, to live free of idols, to be who God created us to be, His children. Let's pray. Lord God, the name above all names, the one revealed in our Lord Jesus, we praise You because You are worthy of our honor and glory and praise. You are worthy of our devotion. You are worthy of our worship. For You are good, kind, and compassionate, and just. And you are here with us now through your Holy Spirit, Lord. First of all, we want to confess times when we have worn masks to hide our sin, to hide our idols. Lord Jesus, take them away. We want to be free. Take away our masks. Help us to confess our sins. Help us to give up the idols we hold on to for this false sense of freedom. Thank you, Jesus, that only you and your name brings true freedom. So Lord Jesus, show us who we are today. I pray that you would show each of the people listening here who they are in you. Who they are when they are under your gracious name. May they know that they are your children, loved and cherished by you. And Holy Spirit, give us the strength to walk in this freedom, to be your children, to be free. Guide us, Lord, this week. May we be good witnesses, representations, ambassadors of your name to the whole world, so that others may know who you really are, Jesus, our Lord, our King, our Savior. We pray this in the powerful, in the gracious and loving name of Jesus. Amen.